only the headmaster, I'm the principal, director for student life, which I get the opportunity to handle all the discipline for our Christian school. Grades K through 12 has brought about some unique challenges. I want to ask us this. When Pastor Tim called me and asked me if I'd be willing to speak, I said, sure. And I got on my knees. I'm asking God, what would you like me to share? And I'm going to share something that God is teaching me that I should have learned by now, but I still struggle with. Have you ever had a bad day? Box. But my breakfast cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. His response is, I think I'll move to Australia. He says, in the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Bicky have a seat by the window. Audrey and Elliot got seats by the window too. I said I was being scrunched. I said I was being smushed. I said, if I don't get a seat by the window, I'm going to be carsick. No one even answered. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, the teacher liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. At singing time, she said I sang too loud. At counting time, she said I left out 16. Who needs 16? I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I could tell because Paul said I wasn't his best friend anymore. He said that Philip Parker was his best friend, and that Albert Moyle was his next best friend, and that I was only his third best friend. I hope you sit on attack, I said to Paul. I hope the next time you get a double-decker strawberry ice cream cone, the ice cream part falls off the cone part and lands in Australia. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds. And Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had little coconut sprinkles on the top. That's my favorite, by the way. Guess whose mother forgot to put in dessert? It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's what it was, because after school, my mom took us all to the dentist, and Dr. Fields found a cavity just in me. Come back next week, and I'll fix it, said Dr. Fields. Next week, I said, I'm going to Australia. On the way downstairs, the elevator door closed on my foot. And while we were waiting for my mom to go get the car, Anthony made me fall where it was muddy. And then when I started crying because of the mud, Nick said I was a crybaby. While I was punching Nick for saying crybaby, my mom came back with the car and scolded me for being muddy and for fighting. I'm having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I said. I told everybody. No one answered. So then we went to the shoe store to buy some sneakers. Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes. Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue ones with red stripes. But then the shoe man said, we're all sold out. They made me buy plain old white ones, but they can't make me wear them. When we picked up my dad at his office, he said I couldn't play with his copying machine. But I forgot. He also said to watch out for the books on his desk, and I'm as careful as could be, except for my elbow. He also said, don't fool around with his phone, but I think I called Australia. My dad says, please don't come pick him up anymore. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. There were lima beans for dinner, and I hate lima beans. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not with me. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom says some days are like that, even in Australia. We can all relate, right? We understand it. We get it. Whatever circumstances that come in our life, we have bad days. How are we, as a believer, to be different? We drove down this morning. Road rage is a real thing. Thank God we didn't experience anything this morning. But you see people drive and they do the stupidest things behind a car, right? Yes. I could be one of those people that you amen about, probably. Why does it affect us? Why does it affect us? If you have a Bible, please turn to 1 Thessalonians. If you're familiar with Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica, they were not in a great way. Things in their society was not advantageous if you were a Christian. There were struggles that they had. They were in need. He talks about in chapter 4 about God coming back. And he talks about God coming back soon. And he gives some exhortation. He gives some commands, some instructions in 5. We're just going to read 3 simple verses. He says, be joyful always. Chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Before we dig into the word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that we can have a relationship with you. As we sing to you, you are a great God and worthy to be praised. Father, you know my life. You know how I don't live these principles out daily. I struggle. I fight to. I pray, Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I pray that I not get in your way as your word is spoke. And let us apply the principles in your word to our life so that we can point people to you as we live here on this earth while we're passing through. I thank you again for a relationship with you, the hope and the joy that you bring. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first command, we're going to look at 3 responses for the believer in living a life that is pleasing to God, or that is different from what the world is. And the first response is found very simply in verse 16. To be joyful. But there's a word after that. I hate that word. Always. Be joyful always. Does that frustrate you? Because I don't like to be joyful. I like to be happy complaining. How about you, right? I'm happy while I'm complaining about whatever lot is in my life. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't have enough food. My wife and I, we have 6 kids. Those of us with children, when you're about to embark on a trip, how much longer? I want to strangle them, right? How are we different? He says, be joyful always. What is the foundation for your joy? What circumstance is it that you allow to rob your knock you off your foundation? Could it be health? Could it be money? Could it be some, you know, cars, children, family? Performance? Not getting attention? My father, when I was 16, he quit his job. My dad was the head accountant for Word of Life up in Scroon Lake. He quit his job to go to Bible college. He went to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, where I used to work there. And we moved. And so in the moving process, we used a realtor. I have not had the privilege to hang around realtors or their offices often or much, but I don't like it. I didn't like it. There's a lot of stress. People are constantly going out. My experience, and this was a while ago, this was back in 1987. People were going outside to smoke because there was so much stress. And in walked our realtor. I didn't know what this guy looked like. My dad said people from the church that we visited when we visited Pennsylvania and people from Baptist Bible College recommended this man. He said, his name is Pete, and you'll know him as soon as you see him. Good. That's all he told us. And in walked Pete into this realtor's office. Pete had muscular dystrophy. His hands were a little bit crippled and pulled in. He didn't walk with a normal gait like we do. It was a struggle for him to walk. One leg was kind of kicked into the side, and he kind of struggled as he walked. I remember very vividly as he walked into the realtor's office. But there was something that Pete had that most of the other people in the office did not have. I must admit I wasn't happy either because I'm sitting there waiting. That's not really something that a 16-year-old would pick to do is hang out in the realtor's office. Pete had a smile on his face. And he walked in and he said to people, good morning. And the people outside, good morning. Yeah, you look like it, right? What is the foundation for our joy? We say as Christians that we should have joy, that we should be happy. But we allow all kinds of circumstances to take it away. I found in my life, sometimes my foundation is to be comfortable. That I allow my foundation, if I'm comfortable, then I can be happy. Are you like that? If things go my way, if things go the way that I want them to, then I can, I'll sign up, I'm happy. But the minute that it goes south, that there's conflict or adversity, it's a struggle within my heart. My focus gets wrong. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter. And God has really used this to challenge me in my life. First Peter, the people are being persecuted for being Christians, and they're watching their loved ones being tortured at this time in Scripture when Peter is penning his letter. Nero is king, he's emperor of, and he's butchering Christians, and you can't find a job. You're watching your loved ones starve to death. They're being diseased. And Peter writes his letter. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an exclamation there. He's saying, in fact, praise be to God. There needs to be excitement. There needs to be energy. There needs to be enthusiasm. Praise be to God, he says. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We'll stop there. Our foundation, our hope, is in the Lord. And it can't be taken away. Amen? But we allow circumstances to do that. We allow things to take us away, and that renders us ineffective in our pursuit of pleasing God when we're here on earth. Doesn't it? We can become like Alexander. I know I can. I was challenged with this. My wife and I, we work at McKill Christian Academy, and we have the privilege to stay in dormitory housing with our international students. My wife cooks for the students. We have, I think, 10 kids that she cooks for. We live, our school purchased a property that it was an old school and had water damage. And so they've gone in and remodeled a couple wings. It's a big school. we live in one of those wings. We had an early dismissal. We canceled all our afternoon activities a little while ago because of bad weather. And I was at school wrapping things up, and I got a call from my wife. She said, "Mike, you need to come home. There's a leak in the roof, and there's standing water in the girls' room." Okay. Be joyful always. I'm going to be joyful. Amen. Hallelujah. I drive home. My wife, she's not losing her mind, but, you know, she doesn't greet me with a kiss and a smile and say, "Hey, Mike, hi." She says, "You got to come in here." So we do, and she's not lying. There's standing water in the girls' room, and there's a leak in the roof. No problem. We'll get it. So I get up on the roof. It's a rubber roof, which means you don't know where the leak is coming from, and there was also about 14 inches of snow on top of the roof. We'll shovel it off. Well, you can't shovel it off, because if you do, you might puncture the membrane and you have more leaks. Okay. Be joyful always. No problem. So we work on it. That was on a Thursday night. We suck up the water. We move the family. We're having a blast, right? There's another wing to the school. And sometimes we walk in there if it gets cold outside. So my wife was walking. Friday morning, I get up, go to school. She calls me, "Mike, there's a pretty significant leak in one of the wings." Be joyful always. Good. Yep. I got a couple discipline issues here at school. I'll wrap those up. I'm on my way. A pipe busted. The water wasn't turned off. And so basically, in two spots, they just turned the water on and it was flowing into this wing of the school. When I got there, it was up over my feet. So I opened the doors where the wing is, and by that time, it was about that deep. And then it just flows down this hallway. I'm like, "Well, that's a problem." So I have this machine, and I'm getting the machine, and it's not working the way that you want it to, right? Have you ever been in those situations? I got to suck up this water because I don't want the water to go into other classrooms. There's a couple parents at our school that, I'm just going to be perfectly honest, they annoy the mess out of me. My little boy got pushed on the playground. Well, little boys push on the playground. That's what you do when you play soccer. You know, so I get a call from one of those parents right at that moment. And she's starting in, you know, "Yes." And I'm like, "Yeah, you can feel it, right? You can feel it. You can feel it come from within your soul." I'm like, And then I remember, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to God, and He saved me. And it cannot be taken away. Nothing can take it away. It's sealed by God. It's being protected by God. Nothing can take it away. That's why we can be joyful always. We're going to have bad days, right? We're going to have things that don't go our way. A couple days later, I went out to my car. I started, nothing. Right? So I'm working with the battery, and it's cold. It's minus, it blows zero. Let's just say that. And you ever nick your knuckle trying to hook up the jumper cable to the battery post? Be joyful always. We allow so many little things to take away our joy because our focus, we don't realize that our hope and our joy needs to come from what we have in Christ and not allow, and it can't be taken away. Have you ever hoped for something and it didn't happen? I have. I hope the Steelers would actually get in the playoffs and quit all their bickering amongst themselves. And it didn't happen. It's downright depressing for me. When my dad quit his job, and we moved to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and part of the way God provided opportunities for us to work to help him get through school was we mowed grass or lawn service. He bought two 21-inch push mowers and said, Mike, you push one, I'll push the other one. We got about 25 yards, and we delivered papers. There's this hill in Clarksville, Pennsylvania called Highland Avenue. And I like to play sports, and Dad says, you're little, you need to be faster. So there's this hill in Clarksville called Highland Avenue. And so they would purposely drop 75 papers at the bottom of Highland Avenue, and I would carry these papers running house to house up the hill with my paper bags. I wore two paper bags. You put the papers, 35, 40 papers in one each bag, and off you go. You fold them and you run. We ran it, by the way. My dad thought it would be best to run. And there's parts of Highland Avenue that are very steep. And you know what I was thinking? I wasn't thinking about my relationship with Christ. I was thinking about the cold Coke that was sitting in the cooler in the car at the top of the hill. All I wanted was that Coke, right? That was my hope. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to drive this. I'm going to push hard to get up the hill because I got an ice cold Coca-Cola in the cooler. There was one day. So my father runs another section. And he beat me there. He beat me to the top of the car. And unlike my dad's very giving, but this one particular day, he was thirsty. So he drank my Coke. And my hope was gone. I was like, what are you doing? Mike, if you know my father, I was thirsty, Mike, and he was there, so I drank it. God doesn't do that to us. 1 Peter says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. I don't know about you, but if that doesn't excite you, I don't think much excites you. If we know Christ is our Savior. Our hope is in God. I'm very capable of messing things up, but He's not. That's why we can be joyful always. Be joyful always. That's why when situations come into our life, we don't have to give in to the way the world does. We can smile because our hope is sealed by God. That's a response. The second response is to pray continually. Praying is evidence of a humble spirit. If you're like me, we try to exhaust ourselves before we think about praying, right? I do. I can do it. I can get this. I can do this. Have you ever lost your keys? When you scramble around your house looking for your keys and you've exhausted yourself? It's happened in our household. And my wife will say, maybe we should pray. What's praying going to do? I need to find my keys. And you humble yourself and you pray and you find your keys. What do you know? Praying is evidence of a humble spirit. God tells us that God opposes the proud, He gives grace to the humble. Praying is evidence that we can't do it on our own. So that woman calls me. I'm in this. I actually was thinking about it because we have some kayaks. I was going to go grab one of the kayaks and stick it in the wing and see if it could float. This woman calls me and I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. Pray continually. I got down on my knee. I put her on speakerphone and just kind of like put her off to the side. I got on my knees and I cried out to God. You know why? Because I can't handle it. I can't. Within Mike, I want to say things back to this woman, howbeit they might be funny and witty, but they wouldn't be good. It's not going to help the situation. And God changed me. Praying is evidence that we can't do it on our own. Do you pray? We moved. I'll be honest. When we lived in Clarksville, Pennsylvania, life was we had its ups and downs, but it was easy. We moved to New York, and it's been challenging. It's been good. It's taught me to pray. It's taught me I can't do it. I got to get on my knees. I talk to God a lot. My dad used to challenge me when cell phones first came out, you got a bill. And it showed all the numbers that you called or data used, texting, right? My dad used to challenge me, Mike, if there was a phone bill to heaven, what would your usage look like? Pretty convicting. I've learned to pray and talk to God, not just about what I need or what I want, but to praise Him. Praying shows a dependence upon God. So we moved to New York. When we were packing the truck to leave for Pennsylvania, the headmaster at school calls me and he says, you're not going to go to the place that you think you're going to go to. Okay. We really felt, my wife and I felt that God was in the move to New York. And he was. He said, I will call you tomorrow morning with where you're going. My wife, what was that phone call about? Oh, nothing. I'm taking my wife and 6 kids, we're moving to New York. I don't know where we're going. There was a place there, we go there, and our school, it was unbelievable. Kids that I just disciplined in school the week before came out to help. They were raking leaves. Women were cleaning up the house. We stayed in this mansion on the river in Schenectady. It was beautiful. Better than anything we ever wanted. We get in there, the kids, like Jesse, our one daughter, you ever have one kid that just a little bit runs to the beat of a different drummer? She's our one. She got this room that was upstairs in the attic. And overlooked, she was like, this is fantastic. It fit Jesse. It was unbelievable. We get there. It's going great. We're there for a week. I get a call Saturday night from the gentleman we're renting from. And he says, look, we're thinking we're going to stay there for at least a year. He says, there's people coming by to look at the house tomorrow. Oh, that was a great conversation with my wife, Val. So, okay, we can't come home right home after church because there's people coming to look at the house. You'd be, what? It was so good for us because we had to be dependent upon God. God, I trust you. I know you're in control. I need you because I'm weak. Do we take enough advantage of talking to God? Talking to God also changes our focus back to where our hope is, right? When we pray and we come to God, our focus in life is me or I or this or that, some circumstance, and praying directs our focus back to where it belongs, that our hope is in Christ. Do you do that? 3 responses for the believer in living a life that's pleasing to God. Be joyful. 2, pray continually. 3, give thanks. I can give thanks. Doggone it. In all circumstances. Give thanks. Have an attitude of appreciation, not expectation. Do we appreciate? My one buddy... we were doing a basketball camp in Pennsylvania this summer, and he had something up on the wall. They were doing some remodeling. When you trade your expectation for appreciation, your world instantly changes. We live in a culture that's not very thankful, correct? If you want to prove that, go hold the door at your local mall for people. I held the door at a shopping center recently, and it's like I did something wrong. As I held the door for this lady, she looked at me and she goes, what's your problem? I'm just holding the door. Thank you. You're welcome. We have a society that doesn't say give thanks. It's entitled. It's what I'm getting. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances, even those ones that are unpleasant. Do we give thanks? Are we appreciative? Do we allow the circumstances to take away the fact that our hope is in Christ? That's why we need to pray. That's why we can be thankful. And also being thankful demonstrates trust in God and His plan. Are you thankful? Can you be, and I get it, but can we be characterized as somebody who's thankful? Or are we entitled? Are we just, you know, I'm not getting what I want? So God allowed us, we had three healthy children, and our fourth child, my wife took this blood test. I always get the weeks mixed up. It was alpha theta protein test at 16 weeks, and the test did not come back quite like they should have. They came back that we had to go visit a high-risk pregnancy doctor. And the timing of it came as such. I was the basketball coach at BBC. We had a pretty good team. And in the middle of our game, our guys just went haywire. Long story short, I have to bench two kids and another kid gets hurt. What was a 14-point lead in a regional championship game turns into a 3-point loss. People aren't very happy with me as the coach because I benched our 6'9 center, who's now, ironically, my brother-in-law. He married my wife's little sister. That makes fun for family reunions, right? Our best player, this young man charged, the ref made a call. I wasn't happy. He kind of like bumped the ref. Like, you can't play the rest of the game. Another kid got a foul call, our best player, and he throws a ball at a kid. He's done. And then a kid turns his ankle. He can't go in the rest of the game. We lose. That's not good. People are, they're upset. We get this call. And we've got to go visit this high-risk pregnancy doctor. It's hard to give thanks in all circumstances. So we go. She tells us that we should abort the baby. You got three healthy ones. Well, we're not going to do that. Because the Bible, if God gives us a child with special needs, then we're going to accept that. And that's part of His plan. We end up having our daughter in a unique set of circumstances down in Philadelphia. She was born and she was operated on right after she was born. They said it would be an hour and a half. It ended up being like some 6-hour surgery. They thought she was going to have all kinds of complications. She's sitting here in church right now, so she's probably embarrassed that I'm talking about her. She had to have a surgery when she was 5.5 months old. We had to go back down because the surgery that she got when she was a little girl in her intestines are not normal like ours with just the hole like this. Hers actually has a shunt right down the middle, so they're like this. So you can get blockages and things. So they had to go through, when the doctor was operating on her and when she was a newborn baby, he had all of her small intestine, large intestine, her colon out on the table, and he was cutting sections because they couldn't pass through it. Well, you realize that our intestines are there for a reason. They absorb nutrients. So when Mads was a little baby, after another basketball game, my wife says, something wrong with the baby. I go home, and her feet are swollen. And she's twitchy. We call our pediatrician, just give her Benadryl. She's probably having an allergic reaction. Send her to bed. Thank God that my wife didn't listen to that. She said, mother's tuition kicked in. We took her to the emergency room. She had robbed her body of all the calcium that it had because she wasn't absorbing calcium. And she was going into cardiac arrest, but she's only, 4 months old? She can't tell you. 4.5 months old? She can't tell you that. By crying is the only way. They're going to life flight her. It's too foggy. So they drive an ambulance up from Philadelphia, and we drive down to Children's Hospital where she was born. When we're there, things aren't going well. She's not responding the way that they think. We're in the cardiac intensive care unit in Children's Hospital. that's not really a place of hope and promise. We were given a room. And right next door was a couple with a baby who had a hole in their heart. And they were calling for a priest. And so they couldn't find a priest, ironically enough. So I walked around the corner and said, I'm a Christian. I talk to God. You do? You know, people are so desperate at that point in time in their life. I prayed with this couple, and I'm like, so we prayed for Mads, and Mads wasn't doing well. And basically, Mads lacked calcium. So they were giving her, giving calcium intravenously. She had a calcium infiltration. And I don't know if anybody here knows what that means, but her hand blew up. Calcium is an acaustic substance. We've seen kids with calcium infiltrations before. Well, since in this process, it burns. I've seen kids like lose part of their leg. The nurse walks in and says, the doctor's coming in. Doctor's like, hey, there's a good chance she's going to lose the use of her hand or lose her hand. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's hard. One of my players, his dad's a plastic surgeon. One of the top plastic surgeons in the state of Michigan. I call him. Dr. Logan. It's Coach Chow. Yes. He goes, we've been praying for Madison. I said, well, maybe you can help us. He was getting ready to get on his jet and fly back to Pennsylvania to do the procedure if they had to. They didn't have to. He got in touch with the plastic surgeon in Philadelphia, at Children's Hospital that was on. The only thing as a result of Madison's thumbs, her one thumb, the thumb on the hand that was affected, isn't normal. We call her Stumpy as a result of it. So this process is beginning. We get moved out because we were having a great time in this room with this couple. We were being able to share the gospel with them. But Mad's condition was worsening. It was getting worse. So they moved us to another room. And we walk into this room and it was a baby who was older, had a hole in her heart. She was almost a year old and she wasn't back to birth weight yet. They had to do a procedure on her, but she wasn't strong enough. Her name was Elizabeth. They called her Lizzie. And I would walk around and I would see this little girl with tubes everywhere. Man, my daughter wasn't so bad. And we met Lizzie's mom. At a time when my wife and I were really struggling. We weren't giving thanks. We were starting to focus on ourselves. We were starting to focus on what we didn't have and what we weren't getting. Have you ever been there? And Lizzie's mom walked in, smile on her face, another believer. And she tells us this story. And she said, you know, I have had other children. And so when we had Elizabeth, we expected the same ride, and it has been. And she told us this story. She says, it's like we expected to go in Italy, and we love Italy. We love the food in Italy, the clothes in Italy, the landscape in Italy, the cars in Italy, the people in Italy. Everything was good. But with Elizabeth, or Lizzie, when the plane touched down, it landed in Holland. And the weather wasn't nice, and the people were different. And it was everything that we didn't expect. They wear wood shoes and weird clothes. And the food wasn't like we expected in Italy. And then I watched this woman's demeanor change. And of course, she's crying. My wife is crying. The nurse is crying. And I'm crying. I have to admit it. I'm crying too. She says, you look and you see that Holland has the most beautiful tulips in the world. Give thanks in all circumstances. We can do that as believers because our hope is in Christ. And that foundation cannot be rocked, cannot be taken from us at all. We need to pray continually and we need to be thankful. That is how God can use us here on this earth when we have days like Alexander had. Like we have. when cars don't start and there's flooding in your house. Or maybe there's a relationship that you're struggling with, or your health. That's why we can give thanks, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I want to just, in being thankful, your focus is on what you have and not on what you don't have. Having little kids, right? I need this. Yeah, sure you do. I need a PlayStation. No, you don't. Now as my kids got, I need a cell phone. No, you don't. Actually, it's kind of nice because you can ping them and see where they are, right? Be thankful in all circumstances. Are you? Am I? Because that's what an unbelieving world will find believable, is if God's people can go out and live these things on a daily basis. It's not normal, right? It's not natural. It's not. But because we're saved by grace through faith, our hope is in Christ. We pray continually, and we can give thanks. Something that my wife does, and I really appreciate it. The month of November, we have a huge pumpkin on our kitchen table. I like it because I like pumpkin pie, and I know that eventually that's what that's going to turn into. But we take turns at dinner time writing what we're thankful for on the pumpkin. And when you understand, when your focus is on what you're thankful for, your focus is not on what you don't have, right? We have reason, because of our relationship with Christ, to always be thankful. And it can't be taken away. So three responses for the believer in living a life that is pleasing to God is to be joyful always, pray continually, and to be thankful in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what can be different as we live our life. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. And I pray that we put these principles, and you know I fall short, I need you. I thank you for victory in these areas. I thank you that you're all-powerful God, and you can use your people to point people to you by allowing us to go through times that are not pleasant. Let us get our focus off ourselves. And let us put these principles of your word into practice. For your honor and glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.